Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Welcome to Sports In Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports In Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul of the channel, Sports In Depth with the show. And we come live from Fortaleza, Brazil. As always, thanking God for being alive. You open with a prayer. John Coltrane, dear Lord, give all these things to the Lord. Have your will and have your will. More importantly, Lord, we thank you for moving into a large thing to take for granted. And we just ask you, Lord, continue to guide me. Mother said, cast him, give it. That will never rise up against me. Lord, bless me. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. It's so amazing. Some of the great events in sports that have happened. But more importantly, Lord, we just want to come and thank you. As that man once said, although we do not live on Park Avenue, by the grace of God, we don't live on Park Avenue. And start stealing sports stuff on the Blake Radio Network. Thank you for so much. Sports Network, the show. It is a Sunday show live. Thanks for that. That's been shocking. And yes, Manny Pacquiao lost. I did a superb golf shot last week at the Miami Heat while going back to the NBA Finals. And exchange at Roger Clemens, they somehow get out of this story. Anyway, cool will be joining us late. Hey, you're on assignment. Here, that's how I'm going to join you. Open the show. The man who tells us all that it's time for sports you got to happen, the one and only Mel Kelsell Smith Jr.
Hey, good doctor. Thank you very much. I just wanted to say, of course, hello to the Sports In Depth Nation is here. Sports In Depth panel is here or on the way. The Sports In Depth program is coming to you via the Blake Radio Network. And the straw that stirs the drink is here. And that indeed is Doc Stanley. Take it away, Doc.
Thank you, Tony. You humble me. And just thanks so much. Doc Stanley Sports is live from Fortaleza, Brazil. And, you know, so many things are happening. We were in flight. So technical difficulties last week didn't allow us to do a Sunday show. We tried to get a Lady A in the boxing way, but so many things happening. You know, we've got the former Brown Sugar, Sugar Spice here. But, you know, Tony, let's just get to it. Let's double back. You know, there's been so much of the surmise and the demise and the deletion of one Tiger Woods last week with a great shot out of the rough. And it turns out and wins not only Jack Nicklaus's tournament, but surpasses Jack Nicklaus, ties Jack Nicklaus, for the most wins, who's in second place. And you just had to see that shot, the demeanor, the posture. So for all intents and purposes, as we're getting ready for the U.S. Open, that Eldridge, Tiger Woods, if nothing else, seems to be prepared. And, hey, was back last week with that shot, Rooney.
Was that back? I didn't hear the last part of that. Was
that now? Tiger displayed the Tiger of old. And if last week is any indication with that tremendous win at the Memorial, and with that great shot out of the rough, I mean, there was no way it seemed to make par and save bogey, but Eldridge Tiger Woods could very well be back in the driver's seat in the world of golf. No question, he's still the man.
Well, Doctor, that is the million-dollar question. Will the Tiger of old ever be back in the saddle again? Will he ever recapture the magic that was once the incredible play of Tiger? Will he ever be able to recapture that magic and consistency that he was once known for? That is the question regarding Tiger. Will he be back in the saddle again? And, of course, Doc, I do not have to tell you about the huge news that took place yesterday here over the weekend, which I'm sure you're going to be the one and introduce it. But I told you it was coming, Doctor. Told you I felt it.
Well, you know, it's amazing you say that because it was you who said, okay, you know what, if I have to hedge, so if I got to play, I'm looking to throw the ball to Pacquiao, but somehow I think the cost, and I said this all along, and I said Bradley was going to win, and it is just astonishing because 2-2 is always 4, no matter how you get it. But to win in Las Vegas and a split decision against Manny Pacquiao, it says a lot about the mindset of a lot of people in boxing about Manny Pacquiao. We've talked redundantly how a lot of people felt that his fights with Marquez, the ledger should be switched the other way as opposed to the way it is. So many people thought he'd lost that last fight, and we've been saying this redundantly. Me and Lady A, at the top of our voices, Tim Smith, George Willis, Pacquiao Mayweather was a fight that Aaron didn't want to make, and it was to the demise of the boxing fans that what happened yesterday. I mean, we this is the thing we've always said, let's get this fight done, so because if anybody beats Pacquiao, let it be Mayweather, we could do a trilogy. Now, they're talking about doing a set November fight rematch, and so for all intents and purposes, is what you said, is what so many of us have said, that Manny Pacquiao, Floyd Mayweather Jr., will never, and probably in Portuguese, nunca, hold you. It's never going to happen, Wayne. Or it's not going to happen this year. And it's getting to the point in the minds of a lot of the boxing purists and fans, it's a fight now that maybe nobody wants to see, Wayne.
Well, that's probably true now, Doc. However, the rematch very much wants to be seen by the public, because many folks didn't think that Bradley should have gotten that decision. Just about everybody I've talked to, just about, not all, but many, many people don't think that he won that Rumble, Doc. And I understand that Pacquiao has an automatic rematch clause in that anyway, so I'm pretty sure that rematch will take place. You know Pacquiao wants redemption, because he doesn't feel that he lost the fight to begin with.
I'm not saying, I mean, the rematch is going to happen for a horde of reasons, and the biggest reason is going to happen because, once again, it stays in-house the top rank. What I'm saying is we're not going to see Mayweather and Pacquiao. I mean, even with this type of defeat, the stage is still set. You can still do Mayweather-Pacquiao, because what you're saying, there is a high populace who feels that Pacquiao won the fight. So for all intents and purposes, you could say, you know what? Okay, here's what we're going to do. Let's do Mayweather-Pacquiao, because many people feel Pacquiao, as was the mindset when we talked about Miguel Cotto. A lot of people felt that he had really lost to Margarito after the confirmed placid hands, and the fact that there's so many allegations of the possibility of Pacquiao was on steroids, but surely, okay, that the mindset was he did not lose to Margarito. And with this kind of uproar, you know, the boxing public would have no problem saying, you know what, okay, Manny Mayweather, for what we're concerned, Manny still hasn't lost. Mayweather be the guy to beat him. Now, I don't think there's a whole lot of regret. I don't think there's a whole lot of sadness. And no question, and we'll try to get my good friend Tim Smith and George Willis on the line now, there's no sort of initiative to ever do Pacquiao Mayweather. And this is a great scenario, because now here's the hope. You know, Can Bradley win back-to-back split decisions? I doubt that. So Manny wins in November, and they're doing it again in April. So you're talking 2013, Mayweather and Pacquiao, still not happening, Rooney.
You're probably right about that, Doc. But what could happen, even though a lot of folks thought that, Tim came in the Rumble but didn't really win that fight, you might see Bradley Mayweather down the line.
You know, Rooney, it is, as they say in the terminology of the day, you are sick because you could generally come up with this because it was Bradley who said that I see myself as being the first man to beat Floyd Mayweather Jr. But now the problem...
I heard him when he said that, Doc. You're right. I heard him when he made that statement, and he meant it.
No, well, I see the problem that he has here is that he's with Top Rank. And I don't think Top Rank wants to deal with Mayweather. So if Bradley wins again, he's still undefeated, and he will have beaten Pacquiao twice, and the public would say, okay, we'll buy the fight. I don't think Top Rank wants to make the fight. And what would have to happen then is that Bradley would have to say, you know what, Top Rank, I'm going to do this. But all along, I said this, Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow, so the Channel Sports Network, I've said this all along. The Mayweather-Pacquiao fight is a fight that's not been made because Top Rank, a.k.a. Bob Arum, didn't want to make the fight. So now, here's the question. What makes you think if he didn't want to make Pacquiao Mayweather, that he'll want to make Bradley Mayweather?
Well, I think it's win-win for Arum either way, Doc, because I think that now one of them is expendable, if you will, whether it's Pacquiao or Tim Bradley. I mean, either way, with Pacquiao, you have the older star, Mr. Pay-Per-View, the whole nine. Many people felt won this Rumble anyway, so his credibility is still good, you know, in that sense. And the other one, you have the fast-rising star who now is on everyone's lips, and Timothy Bradley. So one of them, he may deem to be, they're going to fight each other, so obviously one of them is going to be expendable anyway, you know, in boxing parlance. So it's win-win for Bob Arum, in the sense that he has the old star champion who has a tremendous following, and now he has the new lion coming up now with the, even though many folks feel that he lost, but it's a win in a record book, so now his rep has been enlarged, if you will.
Rooney, you know what? That makes a lot of sense, but Bob Arum hasn't been using common sense, because if he had any kind of common sense, we've been looking at Manny Pacquiao Mayweather 2 by now. So you're talking logic, you're talking common sense, you're talking about what's good for boxing is A, B, C, but the question is D, Arum does not want to do, in my mindset, for all intents and purposes, none of the above. And if he didn't want to push his star as remarkable and as bright a star as Manny Pacquiao, I don't see the Bradley Mayweather fight happening unless Bradley says, okay, Bob, I'm getting off the train. I don't see this fight happening, okay, as long as
Doc, if that's the case, pardon me for cutting you off, if that's the case, Doc, then like you said, with that automatic rematch clause, then we're definitely looking at Pacquiao Bradley, too.
So, you
know,
that's
going to be fireworks from the word go.
Yeah, well, that it sells well because there's the controversy. I for all intents and purposes, and Bradley has to beat him soundly, knock him out. So if he doesn't beat Pacquiao soundly and he loses, and let's concede to someone on the line, the way the deck is stacked, he does lose. He may not lose, but if he does lose, you're talking trilogy. I mean, you're talking, okay, wow, let's do this a third time, which they will do, which means, once again, everything stays in-house with Top Rank. And I just don't see, if we look at the past track record, and we've got a track record here, the Paul Williams-Margarito fight was not made for some minuscule reasons. Pacquiao Mayweather had not been made. I mean, there was some talk. I mean, why did Bob Arum say, well, you know, with Don King talking to Mayweather, maybe get this done. I mean, you know, Arum never did do a Trinidad De La Hoya too, when he was working with Don. So now what would make you think he was going to work with Don to come about, as we see it didn't come about, a Mayweather-Pacquiao fight? So all these things were in the words of the great Marion B. Boykin. The B stands for black, bodacious, brilliant, and a brother. Those are the greatest boxing show in the history of mankind. As Marion would say, Aram all along had simply been perpetrating a fraud. And as many times he gets exposed, it gets validated. I mean, because after the Marquez fight, surely that was the time to do Mayweather-Pacquiao. And now here is the time where you had a loss that was not perceived as a loss, and it could have been a great venue and jump into Mayweather-Pacquiao. And what's great, too, I mean, the fight sold itself, but whatever minuscule aspects you thought were unsellable, this would definitely help produce the product to its highest possible level. You're not taking it again. You're talking about fighting 10 million. You're not talking about, I mean, and here, you look at this, too, as we look at this. Rooney, Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth, on the Blake Ritter Network, Rainbow, sort of channel, Sports and Depth of the show, Howard Weston Jr., and Justina Baby Lewis will simply be joining us, as will Seeley from the Jets Lady A's on Simon. I mean, here's another thing, too. That was already the rematch clause. So there was a catch-22 here. You say, well, it was good business sense. It was covering all the bases. But if you had a rematch clause, then you were, one, not sure about Pacquiao winning, but more importantly, business-wise, you were assured of once again having this fight, which then again interrupts any time frame or disrupts, disputes, or deletes any time frame for doing a Mayweather-Pacquiao. So this is a fight Aram didn't want to have, and he's continuing to use his cash cow. It's about money.
Now he has two cash cows, if you will, Doc. Because even though the consensus, from what I've heard lately, consensus is that it was a bad decision, and most folks think that Pacquiao did enough to win the Duke, the fact of the matter is, in the record books, it goes down as a win for Tim Bradley, which means that now you have another viable option for Bob Arum as far as both fighters. One guy most people feel was robbed, so his credibility is still good. And the other guy gets a win in the record books, and so he's here for a big fight. If there's any way that he can come off by winning the Duke in a rematch, well, there you have the rising star, the new lion, if you will.
Mm. Doc Stanley, Sports Depth of the Blake, with another Rainbow Solo Channel, Sports Depth of the show. You've heard it, a split decision. Manny Pacquiao, not since 2005, has lost. Timothy Bradley wins the championship, is the undefeated fighter in the top rank stable in November, just about near Thanksgiving time. Boxing fans will be thankful to have another fourth big fight. And as we look back at this year, you know, we had some big fights happening. This was a fight that was part of four big ones we thought were going to happen. We had the Berto Ortiz fight aborted. We had the Peterson and Khan fight aborted. Luckily, we had Cotto and Mayweather not aborted, and Pacquiao and Bradley, the two big guys, came through to save, hold, and keep boxing afloat. And so now as we move on toward the halfway mark of this year, thank you God for all great and wonderful things, we are assured of a fight once again right near holiday time. And so last year we got the Cotto and Margarito fight in Madison Square Garden in the Christmas time. It's done. It's over. We will get more reactions and thoughts from the boxing purists and our boxing elite here. But we're going to move on now and move to the next venue. And that simply is the Boston Celtics up 3-2, had won the season series. I had sort of redundantly spoke about that. I was questioned last week, Doc, your call, your pick on the 14th NBA Finals, who can win? And I said, well, you know, all of them have the ability to have the horses. I think the Spurs have to continue to play perfect basketball. And since they couldn't lose games in the sense of winning the series 4-1 would be good, but if you get some breaks, some rest, I felt that if Oklahoma had, even in defeat, taken the six games, that the wear and tear would be more visible on them in the NBA Finals against either the Celtics or Miami, and even question more viable against the Heat than it would be against the Celtics. I said the Celtics had a great chance. The big three were playing well.
It was there for the taking with the Celtics, Doc, but they couldn't pull the trigger on it. It was there for the taking. It was a close game basically throughout. But like you said, I guess youth will be served, and the same with Oklahoma City, you know.
Let's go back on that too, Rooney. Let's go back, and you know, and is this? It's as if they are run by a robot, as if there's a control button that sends them out. You never hear any salutations. You never hear any kudos. You never hear any praise given to our friend, a man who we deeply love and respect, Doc Rivers. You just never hear about what a great job he has done. I mean, if you remember, this club was at the All-Star break under 500. There was questions about the ability of the Big Three. There was questions about their bench. There was grumblings that maybe Doc wouldn't be around. And this man got his team a quarter away from the NBA Finals, took the team that's going into seven games. Can we talk a little bit about the great job that our friend Doc Rivers has done this year and has been doing in Boston? In fact, you know, they're in the finals back-to-back. He's won a world championship. A coach that gets no kind of praise, Rooney.
Well, you know, Doc, thanks to you, I've actually go way back with Doc Rivers to when he was a guard on the New York Knicks. And having been able to speak to him on many occasions then, you know, when he was still an active player, the guy is a great basketball mind, a great basketball strategist. And I just knew one day, obviously, just by, you know, the many conversations lucky enough to have with Doc Rivers when he's still an active player with the Knicks, that the guy was going to coach, that he was going to coach in the NBA one day. Having said that, Doc, a tremendous job. I mean, Garnett was supposed to be old. Everybody else was, you know, playing hurt. Rondo was this, Rondo was that. You know, there are all kinds of complaints. Nobody get along with him, whatever. He did a magnificent job of coming within a hair of going to the NBA Finals, Doc, against supposedly, you know, the team of teams, the Miami Heat, with the greatest, supposedly the greatest player on the planet, and LeBron James, a perennial all-star in Dwayne Wade, and a very underrated superstar, and I do say superstar because if you saw how much he meant to the Miami Heat in this finals when he finally, you know, could play, Chris Bosh, the Big Three. I am going to be waiting with bated breath to see Miami versus Oklahoma. This is going to be a game of games. Tremendous final.
Yeah. It's going to be a tremendous game, and it's what people forget is that the thing that made that move so awesome when LeBron went was that he did not come by himself to join Dwayne Wade. He came with Bosh, and people forgotten about those games during the course of the season. And Wade and LeBron wore a snuff. They had foul trouble. He stepped up and did the job. He allows them to do the things they do. Because he frees them to do those things. Sort of like when Magic Johnson first started with the Lakers, with Slick Norm Nixon in the backcourt, Magic could just give the ball to Norm and go grab some rebounds if it's needed. Or he could post somebody down low. So you just really can't say enough about Bosh. And if there was no Bosh, then it would be Boston.
And I don't say this about LeBron. He catches a lot of heat from a lot of different places. But Game 7, and especially Game 6 of this finals, he was Jordan-esque.
The great thing
is that and the type of performance that he put on, yeah.
75 points in two games. That is very much, I want to be like Mike. No questions about it. Live from Porto Alegre, Brazil, Doc Stanley Sports and Desk from the Tapajara Hotel here in Ceará. for the Lesbian Capital of CDI. And we're going to take a break, come back as we are in the last quarter of Sports and Dev Live from Brazil here with Doc Stanley and Mel Cosell Smith. We salute the Miami Heat and the Oklahoma City Thunder, formerly the Seattle Supersonics. They're going to be in the NBA Finals. Tiger Woods wins his 73rd championship at the Memorial Classic. And Tim Bradley making the doctor look like the doctor with his big win. The Belmont will not be seeing a triple champion, a crown champ, as the Preakness and Kentucky Derby winner has pulled out. Mia Spolvia, French Open, want to salute her for her win. But let's take a quick break. We move into the last 20 minutes of Sports Dev Live. Want to play with another Rainbow Soda Chill Sports Dev show live from Brazil. We'll be right back after this minute. And
the opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Doc Stanley, Sports to Death. On the Blake with another Rainbow Solo Channel Sports Network. Show wants a happy birthday to my dear friend, the legendary, greatest sports artist of his generation, the greatest artist ever lived. 91 years old on this Friday, incomparable. Lee Redding, who has a book out. I have the title now. All I've seen, as I said, you and Neiman, Lynn and Tara and Janet, they were working furiously this last year, getting the book together. It's out now. We will hopefully get some review copy. But Lee Van Neiman celebrated the birthday on Friday. This past Tuesday, had his book out. And one thing for sure, you know, in his great illustration, I thought so much of my Peter from Scotland, gave me an illustration of art. And as you know, Angelo passed away early part of this year. And I caught Angelo. That's right, I covered down in AC. As you know, Leroy did the cover. Angelo's book, As I See It, and Corner by Bert Sugar, and illustrated by Leroy. And Trusting God, Sports and Dev Entertainment Artifacts Museum. We have an autographed copy of that by Leroy. Bert and Angela. Enjoy, happy birthday, dear friend. Love you mentally. Tuesday, his book is out. All I've seen. I got to get the right title on that. Terry, yesterday. Remember this. That's out Tuesday. And yesterday, Friday, was his birthday. Leroy Demon, 91 years old on his birthday. We remember, too, the 97-year-old passing of the great Hal Jackson, who was a Jackie Robinson, Black American Radio. But once again, Leroy, happy birthday. We love you immensely. Other folks are coming up. Derek Sanderson, Jr., Black American Captain, Virginia Yankees. 27th, that of my beloved sister, Helen, and Dr. Stewart, grandfather on the 26th. Happy birthday to my daughter. That's the anniversary of my daughter. And I'm but the 8th, Friday, happy birthday, Leroy. 5. Also, Paul Williams says, we had access for you. Thank you, everybody. All of us who had a serious accident, paralyzed, and waste count. Fight coming up. Yeah. Now, the LLS fight will be mother talk of. Well, it definitely won't be Paul Williams. Devin Alexander. Quinn, though. But, again, it's back in the loss. a great time in Washington. And I think that picture, one of the best they could. Camp was a little short. The heat was a little bit intense. And, oh, but thunder.
Yeah. I'm barely hear you, Doc, what I'm remembering.
And we want to do to Mooney is take time out as we go back over the playoffs and really give everybody talks about salutations for the big three in Boston, Pierce, Allen, and Garnett. But let's take a little time and say what a tremendous year Tony Parker had, and the big guy in front at San Antonio, you know, you just can never say enough about it. He's been one of the great, great players in the history of this game.
Yeah, no doubt, Doc. And, you know, when you look at the talent, the greats who played this game, I mean, from the old days on back to the new days, I mean, just tremendous talent and grace this court, Doc. I mean, just tremendous talent.
And think about Tim Duncan. You know, he's been a class act. He's played great basketball. He's been a leader. He's been a world champion. And you've never heard any negativity about Duncan, so much like the great Derek Sanders and Jeter,
Never a breath of scandal.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing that the two things that were highlighted in the conversation about Joe Torre and a good friend, Buck Showalter, who got the Orioles still kicking and rolling, was that the thing about Derek, to do this on the stage of the biggest media, the most focused cameras, and the number one city in the world. Just says so much about him as a person. And you go back in retrospect and say what it says about his parents and his upbringing. Great baseball player. I've always said this. I said it redundantly. Derek Jeter wears number two because he's second to none as a player, a human being, and a person. Doc Stanley Sports Network, the Blake with the Network Rainbow, so the channel Sports Network, the show. Rooney, we're looking at pretty soon. It's football preseason. We're in June now. Got to put credentials in. You talk so much about you don't see Tebow coming here to be a backup. Thoughts and feelings on that once again. Tim Tebow eventually going to be the starting quarterback for the New York Jets?
Yeah, Doc, and it may happen sooner rather than later. I know that... I just think they have more use for him than just taking 10 snaps a game. I'm pretty much convinced of that. However, at the same token, Doc, I could see both QBs, if you will, in certain plays, I could see them being on the same field at the same time. Most people can't see that. I could actually see that. Both of them on the same line, you know, on the same field, at the same time, depending on, you know, what the plays are. I just don't know why it's discounted that these two can work together. First of all, we had an offensive coordinator, and we have a new one now. You know, with any offensive imagination, he could find a way to make this intriguing, if nothing else.
Do you see this happening as clearly as you saw Tim Bradley winning that fight against Manny Pacquiao?
Not quite that clearly, but I will say this, Doctor. I will say this. If there's any offensive imagination, I could just design plays that were totally out of this world. First of all, most people think that he's more of a halfback or a fullback, than a bona fide a passing quarterback anyway. So I could see certain plays where you have both QBs on the field and
I think, and this is something you've been redundantly put. Now, is that Harold Weston or Big Three Wings joining?
Harold.
Got you together. We've got a good last 10 minutes, so we're going to let you have those last 10 minutes. You know, Rudy, you keep saying that the legitimacy of the size and the abilities of Tim Tebow. But, I mean, here's a guy who won the Heisman Trophy as a sophomore, had a shot at winning the Heisman Trophy back-to-back, had a shot at winning it 3 years in a row. I remember the great line that the late John Francis David Conner gave me, who Howard worked so often with. You know, when I said, you know, Michael Spinks is not a true heavyweight. And John said, what's a true heavyweight, Mel? You know, if you're over 175, you're a heavyweight. So, but let's get down to our boxing heavyweight. They're undisputed. Harold, thoughts as we have the legend. Thoughts of what happened yesterday, Harold?
Well, I'm announcing today. I just came from the gym. I'm making a comeback, you know. I may have to make 47. After looking at those guys last night, I know I can win.
Harold, I told you that 15 years ago. I'm glad you finally won.
We're going to do it now. But last night, man, I thought it was a stinking fight. I can tell you that. I wasn't impressed with either fighter, you know, other, you know, for fighting. Just, you know, as we said, sweet signs of boxing. I ain't seen no sweet signs of boxing with either one of those guys in them. And on top of that, I thought that Pacquiao won it, but. It was a bad fight. I mean, it was a bad call. It was a bad fight, in my opinion.
Harold, after that last night, and the consensus is Harold Weston Jr., first and only African American matchmaker history master with Garden, only NBC welterweight champion, and the last 2 minutes is Harold. After that last night, and they announced that they're going to do Pacquiao and Bradley again. I think that validated that we are not going to see Mayweather-Pacquiao.
Well, I think Pacquiao basically is ready to throw it in. You see, he's invested in so many things in the Philippines. I mean, he's got a million things going. And at the same time, I mean, his money goes far away with American money going into the Philippines. I just think that you're never going to see the fight because, you know, now Pacquiao can make – they're going to make a lot of more money on the second fight with him and Bradley on the 10th of November. Believe me, they're going to make more than what they made last night.
Let me ask Howard this. Hey, Howard, can a fighter be too busy with outside things? Can a guy have his fingers in too many pies out?
Well, it depends on who he has working with him. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if he's got to do all the thinking and all the labor, you know, all the labor work, then yeah, that's too much for him. But if he's got people working underneath him and doing the work for, you know, work for him, no, I mean, you can have quite a few businesses as long as you got people you can trust and they controlling your interests of things, and that's what the whole thing's all about. But I think that Pacquiao had that, but I think what he fall into, he got into the gambling, and they said that him and his wife was having a little problem. You got to understand, Pacquiao was a poor ass kid, and I keep trying to tell you guys that. When you come from those kind of backgrounds, and now you're making $20 or $30 million, any woman you dream of, I can make for you. Okay? I swear to God, any woman how you want her to be, I can get her for you. And that's what happened to Pacquiao. All these women are coming out the woodwork, and now he's having a marital problem with his wife, and he's having a business problem. So now he got a little setback. And he got himself together. Now he went to, you know, he went back to the church and he went to God and all that other stuff to get himself back on track again. And that's what's happening to him at this time.
Well, Howard, you were a star fighter. How did you handle, you know, the adulation and the women and the crowds and everybody wanting to be close to you and the autographs?
One of the big things Howard had going in his case, he wasn't married. Howard wasn't married. So, I mean, this was an allowance to indulge. You know, Pacquiao's problem, you're a married man. There's things Harold could do and be seen anywhere. Pacquiao can't do that, Harold.
Well, you know, my thing is that you got to have people that you believe in. I had a tough crew. You got to understand, I had a real tough crew that disciplined me, kept me grounded. And that was in the gym and on the streets, too. And so basically, they informed me, and they taught me, and they talked to me, and I had those people to guide me in situations that I needed to be guided in as a young man, and I can go to them and talk to them about anything. And so basically, that's what I had. You heard what Freddie Roach said. He said something last night that everybody needs to listen to. He said, me and Pacquiao, he said, when we first got together, I was his mentor, and he was the student. And then as things started growing, I became his partner, and then now I work for him. So now you can see where the adjustment is. Pacquiao has now got a little big-headed. Now he's not listening to nobody. He's taking things under his own concept. I kept listening to people. Gil Clancy was my mentor. My father was my mentor. I had other people that I said to talk to. I never disrespected those people. I always listened to their advice, even as things was moving in the right direction for me. And that's the way I took things and everything. You know, I came from that old school, and you always respected your elders, and that's what I did. These guys today, this crew of the great, this young crew, they don't respect their elders. They think that as soon as they got a computer in front of them and they get the answers from them, they know everything. And that's the problem we got.
Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports Network of the show. We're in the last few minutes. Harold Weston Jr. is with us. Harold, okay, your thoughts, Harold, and we haven't got a chance. The motorcycle accident of Paul Williams, though, we talked during the course of the year of the Mariano Rivera thing, the freak. Maybe he just should have been off the field. No question, Paul Williams, no way, shape, or form, should have been on a motorcycle.
Right. I mean that is the first thing. I remember when Emil Griffin got on a motorcycle, Gil almost hit Emil Griffin upside the head with a 2x4, okay? One thing all people knew, especially people that's in the sports world, when your athlete is on anything that you know is dangerous, well, he can get killed in. We know he can get killed in a car, but we let you get the car because we figure there's a little bit more chance you can make it. But a motorcycle is a no-no for any athlete, any performer to get on. Nobody who's making millions of dollars is doing the business that you're doing, football, baseball, with any of those sports, and sing. I don't care what you do. If you're making that big money, your management team should say, no motorcycle. Nothing that can be dangerous for you to get hurt. And that's about, that girl, what's her, Lohan? I don't even know why she's driving.
Oh, Lindsay is a humdinger, Harold.
Yeah,
Lindsay
is a humdinger
behind the wheel.
I mean, just think about it. Every time she gets a car, she has an accident.
Yeah, that's true, Harold. No doubt.
I mean, you know, why you would say, hey, we got too much money invested, we got to have somebody else drive her. We need a chauffeur. That ain't hard to do. I go drive for $5,000 a week.
How? I'll do it for three, baby. What's the number?
Damn,
I'm live in Brazil. Brazil. And we're
but
back
that, what I'm saying is you don't have the people that have good common sense know how to handle your celebrities, your people out here, and people that you're making money for you. They don't have the brain cells and know what they do. All they're trying to do is trying to get you to work so they can make their money. Instead of looking at the long range of your investment and what it takes to get them to go 10, 15, 20 years, they're looking at the short end. They need the money now. So they anything you say is okay. Hey, you want to ride that motorcycle? Go ahead. Buy you another one. Buy you a big one next time. You know, that's their thing. They're agreeing on everything instead of saying, no, you shouldn't do this. No, you shouldn't do that. No, you shouldn't do this. No, we're not going over there. That should be happening. Not agreeing with them. You should help them. And that's what they're not doing today. This management today of athletes and agents of athletes and singers and all they're about is trying to hurry up and get the quick buck from them. That's the bottom line. And all these athletes, people are getting hurt and getting caught in all these jams and everything.
And, gentlemen, we're in the closing minutes here live from Porto Alegre, Brazil. The legendary Harold Weston Jr., the incomparable Bell Smith Cosell. No one even said, Harold told you, motorcycle ain't for you, baby.
No, it ain't for you. It's not for anybody. I mean, but, you know, you got people that like that adventure, and God bless them, they can get away with it. But when you got a guy that's worth, you know, $1 million, like Paul Williams was, the last thing you want him to do is ride a motorcycle.
Harold, hold on just a minute. Larry Hardesty has something to say.
This concludes another edition of Sports In Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports In Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Coming to you live from Porto Alegre, Brazil. This is our show for this evening. Harold Weston Jr. Harold, how upset were you when you heard about you know, this happening to Paul Williams and the situation, but it just never should have happened, Harold.
Say that again, Mel. I didn't hear that.
How did you feel when you heard, you know, about the accident? I mean, it's something that, for all intents and purposes, Harold, never should have happened. We've gone back and seen the example. And one of those great lines is, you know, blessed is the man who can learn from others' mistakes.
Right.
You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback. You know, you as the matchmaker, you as a world champion fighter, you as an African American, how bad did it touch you when this young man got hurt?
You know, I felt very sad for the kid, because I know he worked very hard the way he wanted to be in the boxing world, and he was a good fighter and everything. He had more to give and everything in the sport. But, you know, the saddest part about it is, like I said, Mel, you don't have competent people that guide these young men and helping these men. It's just not, you know, showing them how to fight. It's showing them how to live and try to be a man and try to guide themselves in the world that we live in. You know, living in life itself is hard for any man, all right? For any man. So everybody needs somebody they can guide and talk to give them the right direction, so they don't fall into the pits of things that we do fall into in life every day. And so basically, him going that extra yard to be an athlete, go to a sport that's very dangerous and everything, and nobody's really giving him no points or pointers and telling him the right things to do or not to do. It's a sad situation. And I felt sorry for the young man. Now he is now laid up from his head, you know, from his neck on down, and he can't do nothing with his body. He's finished. Now, you know, all the money he's made, I mean, he's got to go through therapy and everything else. Now just to learn how to walk, or he can try to feed himself. And that's sad. That's very sad, man.
You know, it really is, Harold, and I really do pray, Doc and Harold, that he does regain some feeling, you know, in his legs, and, you know, will one day walk again. I mean, that is just absolutely brutal. And I'm really hoping, Doc and Harold, that one day he'll regain some movement.
Yeah,
in his legs.
I really like to see that.
Okay, well, gentlemen, we gotta close it up. We got another show coming on.
And what happened?
And you want to tell everybody good night?
I mean, it's the thing, man, that you just gotta know. We all, like I tell young men today, when they talk to them, they know. I said, you don't know nothing. You only been on Earth for 14 years or 15 or 20 years. That ain't long for you to even know anything on Earth. But you got these, like I said, you got a generation out here that they think they know everything. They know every step of life because they got a computer, and they look, say, well, I'm going to look it up on the computer, and they think they know everything. And that's not the real way to go. But as I said, if you can get mentors and people that have been out here and been through the struggle and can guide you in a different way and telling you what is right and what's wrong for yourself, I think this is what young men need today.
Good.
And I think, like,
that's,
I told you months back,
we got to go. We got another show coming on. You want to tell everybody good night?
Good night,
well, thank you, Doctor. Sports in Depth Nation's been here. The great Harold Weston's been here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I've been here. We've been here via the Blake Radio Network, and the straw that stirs the drink's been here, and that's Doc Stanley. Thank you, Doctor.
All right, so y'all take care.
Live your life today, and it's same before God tomorrow. Life's built for system. The urgent question is, what are you doing for the service of others and to make you pay for your space on earth? Doc Stanley, and the crew from the bottom of my heart, God bless you all, and trust in God.